Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take our mouths and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire for love of thee. In your name. Amen. It was about this time last year that I saw Jesus face to face. I simply went down to Redhill Station one evening just to buy my tickets for the following morning and thus not get caught up in the rush hour queues. And there he was, sitting on the floor in front of the ticket office at Redhill Station, as if he was deliberately waiting for me. Sitting there, surrounded by half a dozen black plastic bin liners, bulging with things. "Are you a vicar from round here?" Jesus said to me. "Well, yes, I am," I said. "I'm the vicar right here in Redhill." "Good. Then maybe you can help me. You see, I've just been chucked out of my job and I've been left with all these," said Jesus, indicating the black sacks around which he sat. And one by one, Jesus began to unravel the bin liners, each one of them piled high with loaves of bread. "You see all these loaves, vicar? They're all the wrong shape, and that's why they've been thrown out. I've been working in a kitchen just round the corner in your town, and this was the daily delivery of bread. But it's all the wrong shape for their baguettes and paninis. And they were just going to chuck them out, ready for the refuse collectors to pick them up. And I told them what a effing disgrace it was. And they said to me, 'If you're going to talk to me like that, you can take your bread and you can sling your hook now.' So here I am." And he took out a loaf of bread as if raising it up in blessing. He said, "How could anyone reject a loaf like this? It's just perfect and fresh and wonderful. I need you to help me shift them, vicar," said Jesus. "Will you help me?" The kingdom of God is about finding the presence of Jesus in that which is misshapen and rejected. The kingdom of God is finding God's presence in the lives of those who feel that their lives have been parceled up in black plastic bin liners and thrown out the back for the dustman. Struck me that in our Old Testament reading there, we found a shepherd, and the shepherd is gathering together his flock, God's chosen people. And the shepherd is saying, "I look to all the ends of the earth to find those who can, if they will, come and be part of this one flock with me as the shepherd." And when you look at the character of that reading and compare it with the gospel reading, you find that actually the cry of the shepherd as to who should be in his flock is mirrored by the cry of Jesus in the gospel as to who should be in his kingdom. So Jesus says in that gospel reading, doesn't he? I was hungry, did you feed me? And back in the pages of Ezekiel, the shepherd says, come and I will feed you in the finest pasture. Jesus says in the gospel, I was thirsty, did you give me something to drink? The shepherd in Ezekiel says, come to a place of still waters beside a ravine, and I will quench your thirst. Jesus in the gospel says, I was naked, did you clothe me? The shepherd in Ezekiel says, come, and I will bind you up. Jesus says, I was a stranger, did you welcome me? The shepherd says, I will gather you in from all the countries of the world till we are one in one place, one home together. Jesus says, I was sick, did you visit me? And the shepherd says, come, for I will strengthen the weak. Jesus says, I was a prisoner, did you visit me? The shepherd says, I will bring you in from the place of your captivity to the place of your acceptance. Can you see it? Old Testament, New Testament, church and our life caught up in that exchange. The words of Jesus, the cry of the shepherd, the mission of the church, the discipleship of our lives, responding to the needs of others and seeing that caught up in the life of Jesus. Let's go back to the world of bread. In fact, this time, let's go back to the world of bread and cakes. Let's go back to the Great British Bake Off and programmes like it. Not my favourite TV watching, but there are times when I'm sitting there reading the Church Times or something and suddenly I find myself drawn in. I find it actually matters to me what this person's sponge cake is going to look like. All those aspiring chefs trying to make the perfect cake to satisfy those supremely qualified judges. Is that what you think it's like to be a Christian? That God will judge you in the same way as those judges judge the chefs? In fact, it's completely the opposite to that. My dear, your sponge was so light and fluffy. The decoration of farmyard animals that were edible on the top of your cake was simply divine. And that beautiful aroma of mint and apple green dusting, looking like grass, gave every mouthful a distinct zing. However, your sponge was too heavy. You had too many raisins and not enough cream. If you want to be here this time next week, you'll need to do better than this. Is that how God judges his people? It seems to me that God's judgment is this. God's judgment rests on not what we look like when we put our best foot forward, but what we look like when we too unravel the black plastic bin liners of things in our lives we keep from others. The time and how honestly we face up to those things in our lives that are the however bits when the things we do well have been acknowledged. Because this is where Jesus makes his home. He makes his home in the bin liners of misshapen bread and the failings of aspiring chefs. And if we can't identify those needs and shortcomings in our lives first, and then identify the fact that that's where Jesus is, then our attempts to be good disciples and put in place effective mission is always bound to fail. It feels to me in these days, I don't know about you, that through the doors of our church come all sorts of people with misshapen lives, looking to find maybe that one place where they are accepted, where they belong, where they are welcomed and they're loved. I say they, but I mean you, and actually I mean me, you and me. The church in the world today, for many people, the last chance saloon, or so it feels. So anyway, I went to get my car, brought it down to the station, parked in a no parking slot, went in to the station. The bread was still there, but the man, boy, Jesus, had gone. "Yes, can you move this stuff, please," said the station guy, "because we can't have it round here for rush hour in the morning." That weird guy, he's taken a single ticket and gone down to Hawley, but he said you'd be back. Well, I knew I had enough people and enough places to find a home for that bread. Parishioners in need, Food Bank, Renewed Hope Trust, Wellcare, School Families, Easy. But I realised that what I was doing was no longer celebrating the Eucharist at a nice table with beautiful silver to the faithful few. I was actually going round to the edges of our community and sharing bread not out of chalices and cups, but out of black bin liners, misshapen, rejected bread that was actually the bread of life. I felt as if I was going round saying to people, "The body of Christ, the body of Christ," with these loaves that had been left behind on the station. We approach Christmas and the manger. Always standing over us is Easter and the cross. And you know, when we think of those two, not symbols, but actual realities of Jesus and his impact in our world, there we have again the dialogue between Ezekiel in the Old Testament and the gospel we've read. For in the manger, the manger, the place where appetites are fed, we're drawn to a tiny child like your child. Hungry, thirsty, naked, and a stranger. And at Easter on the cross, we're drawn to that child become a man. And he's all those things. He continues to be all those things, as well as a prisoner, as well as sick. And so that's where we meet our Saviour. So as we puzzle over the sort of church we're being called to be, the sort of individuals we are called to be within that church, the life of St. Margaret's here into surely an exciting future, I think Jesus is saying to us, "I don't know what I have to do and say to actually make it clear to you all. It's in the strange shape you cut with your life, your misshapen bits. It's in the howevers of your life that you keep hidden. It's in the content of your black plastic bin liner that is not your condemnation to hell, but is your salvation into heaven. Because it is in those places that I wait for you to receive you, to redeem you, to send you out." When Jesus says, and in the song we shall sing in a moment, you unravel me. Imagine that unraveling as being the delving down into the darker recesses of our lives and finding there not darkness and sinfulness and hopelessness, but all the essence of Christ. That same essence that I discovered in a boy who had lost his job, I think at Subway's in Redhill, found himself on the station platform, wondering what to do with 100 loaves of bread that others had cast aside. Words from the song we sang. We must go to feed the hungry, stand beside the broken. We must go. Stepping forward, keep us from just singing. Move us into action. We must go. Even so, Lord Jesus, send us. Amen. I think we're going to sing now, and I think we're going to sing of the shepherd found in